Hey guys, welcome to She Is. I'm your host Z. So She is a weekly podcast where we share our thoughts on women's rights, empowerment and the law, as well as news headlines relating to women's rights. If you're new, welcome. If you're a returning listener, how fun now. So over the weekend, I came across this pretty exciting headline that easily links to our previous episode on the abortion ban in Texas, and I just had to speak on it. Just a little refresher, we discussed on how Texas lawmakers voted to make abortion illegal if the pregnancy is more than 6 weeks along. We also highlighted the different human rights that may be infringed as a result of this ban, like the right to life, health, and others. And also my thoughts on the preferred approach instead of an outright ban, especially as most women don't even know they're pregnant by the 6 weeks limit. Now back to the topic for today. So I came across a pretty interesting piece of news that read, France makes birth control free for women up to 25. And I was like, yes, you go, France. Just as an aside, the idea of women's rights in France has come a long way to where it is right now. In 1944, women obtained the right to vote 24 years after women in America and 51 years for women in New Zealand. In 1965, married women could work and open bank accounts without the permission of their husbands. In 1967, legalization of contraception was announced and abortion became legal in 1975. Contraceptive pills became a symbol for women who then became masters of their bodies and fertility. And in 2000, a law to tackle sexism in politics was enacted, and political parties must now have equal number of men and women on electoral lists, and parties that don't have the equal number of men and women on the electoral list are fined. And in 2013, just about 8-9 years ago, the government cancelled an over 200-year-old law that banned Parisian women from wearing trousers. Imagine. These all show that women's rights have enjoyed some recognition from the French government over time. And before I go any further, contraceptive methods are temporary and permanent preventive measures that help women avoid unwanted pregnancy resulting from sexual encounters. Contraception and abortion are considered fundamental rights in France and are sometimes referred to as the habeas corpus of women, but women are still having to defend them till today. So like I said earlier, I believe on the 30th or 31st of December, the French government announced that it would make birth control free for all women under 25 from 1st January 2022, thus expanding a scheme that currently targets ladies under 18 years old. Now, although specific data wasn't exactly cited, the health minister for France said that surveys show a decline in the use of contraception among certain young women because of financial reasons. He also said, and I quote, "It is intolerable that women aren't able to protect themselves, aren't able to use contraception if they make that choice because it would cost too much for them. The measure will cost the government about 21 million euros per year." And if I may add, this is quite a lot of money. The health minister didn't really address contraception methods for men or specify whether the measure would apply to trans or non-binary people. But this scheme was established to ensure that young women don't stop taking contraception because they just can't afford it. And this scheme was already announced earlier in September after surveys found that teens were not using contraceptives as much. So I guess this newer announcement was just like a confirmation of when it will start. That's 1st January 2022. As an African living in Africa, when I read this, I was like, Omo, can the African leaders approach the French government to learn a thing or two on how to be responsive and responsible leaders? Because I'm thinking, when have we heard the government say that, oh, because they saw that a particular group of people struggling with one thing or the other, they, the government, are going to establish a project that would help solve the problem despite the cost? And even if they have said such, did they really take the necessary steps, or was it just a white elephant project? Now, the contraception scheme in France, which could benefit about 3 million women, covers the pill, IUDs, contraceptive patches, and other methods of contraception. Additionally, visits to the doctor for contraception will also be free. This move is part of the different measures taken by the president to boost women's rights and alleviate youth poverty. And just a fun fact, apparently about 33% of women in France use contraceptive pills, while the next most used method of contraception is the IUD. I just thought to insert that. From my research, I found that free contraception was only available to girls between about 15 and 18. And in 2020, the French government made free contraception available to girls under 15 as part of a bid to end underage abortions. And it seems to have helped, because the number of abortions among 15 to 18 year olds fell from about 9.5 per 1,000 girls to 6 per 1,000 girls between 2012 and 2018. Now, this scheme was just basically extended to women between 18 to 25 years. While contraception is an increasingly accepted topic, abortion still remains some sort of a taboo, and women don't talk about it freely in France, and dare I say, around the world. In fact, I found out that women in France even have an acronym for abortion, because they just don't like using the word. And the acronym is IVG. This acronym stands for a French term that translates to English as voluntary interruption of pregnancy. And I'm just like, wait, which one is easier to say, abortion or the voluntary interruption of pregnancy? This just goes to show how much the French dislike the term abortion. And it's interesting to know that several European countries like Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Norway make contraceptive methods free for teens, and Britain makes several forms of contraception free to all. Spain's healthcare system provides funding for 48 different birth control methods, while in America, former President Barack Obama's health reform, known as the Obamacare, gave most people with health insurance free access to birth control, but his successor Donald Trump canceled the scheme, allowing employers to opt out of providing contraception coverage on religious grounds, a decision that was upheld by the Supreme Court in 2020. Also, Poland's conservative government has heavily restricted access to emergency contraception as part of its war on birth control. Wow! Today, two methods of abortion are legal in France. Abortion by medication that terminates pregnancy by taking pills, and this is allowed up to 7 weeks of pregnancy. The second mode of legalized abortion is by vacuum aspiration, which can be done up to 12 weeks into pregnancies. Another interesting fact is that it is illegal to stop a person from getting their desired abortion, and it is punishable by up to 2 years imprisonment and a 30,000 euro fine. And even where a doctor doesn't want to carry out the procedure, they are to immediately refer the patient to another medical professional for the said procedure. Now, bringing the issue home, most of the countries with lowest rates of contraceptive use, highest maternal, infant and child mortality rates, and highest fertility rates are in Africa. And a study shows that approximately 30% of all women use birth control, although over half of all African women would use birth control if it were readily available. The main problems that prevent access to and use of birth control, especially among young people, unmarried people, and the poor, are unavailability, limited choice of birth control methods, side effects or fear of side effects, spousal disapproval, religious concerns, and bias from healthcare providers. And for a continent with a large population and a very limited development rate, you think that contraception would be readily available and leveraged, but apparently in Africa, about 24% of women of reproductive age have an unmet need for modern contraception. Rwanda and Uganda have the highest unmet need for contraception rates, while NGOs in Uganda are trying to make contraceptives more available in rural areas. Namibia, with a contraception use rate of 46%, has one of the highest rates in Africa, while Senegal, with a rate of 8.7%, has one of the lowest rates in Africa. The use of contraception in Nigeria is incredibly low, as only about 15% of Nigerian women aged between 15 to 49 years use contraception for limiting and spacing their births. A Nigerian woman gives birth to an average of 5.5 children in her lifetime, and the country's annual population growth rate is at 2.6% as at 2015. And due to what they described as unmet needs for contraceptives in Nigeria, health experts have said Nigeria annually records about 2.5 million cases of unintended pregnancies. Conversely, in a developed country like Sweden, contraceptive use is at about 75%, and a Swedish woman will give birth to an average of 1.6 children, and the country's population growth rate is at about 1.1%, which is quite a far cry from what we have in Africa. So what exactly is Africa, and more specifically Nigeria, doing wrong? A growing population, limited access to contraception, limited available choices for type of contraception, cultural and religious opposition, poor quality of available services, and gender-based barriers all contribute to the high unmet need for contraception in Africa. In most African countries, only a few types of birth control are offered, which makes finding a method that fits a couple's reproductive needs very difficult. Now, if you take a look at the rates in other developed countries, you'll see that the knowledge of and the use of contraception in Africa is at a very low level when compared to these countries. And considering the out-of-hand population growth rate and the high level of unemployment and poverty on the continent, the use of contraception should be advocated for. It should even be included in school curricula so that the upcoming generations can be knowledgeable enough before they start creating their own families eventually. Now, during my research, I read this really sad story of a 14-year-old from Sudan who spent 2 days in labor at home. She grew weak from loss of blood and fell in and out of consciousness. Her family set her on a motorcycle, which was the only transportation in her village, with two men holding her between them for a two-hour ride to a larger village. They had waited hours for a car to take her to one of the only two hospitals in the rebel-held areas of Sudan's southern state. And when they finally got her to the larger village, a doctor delivered her stillborn baby by cesarean section and told her that her cervix was too narrow to give birth vaginally. Without adequate health information or access to contraception, she became pregnant two more times. Her second baby was delivered at the hospital but died before reaching 6 months. During the last weeks of her third pregnancy, when she was only 18, she and her family fled her village to escape bombing by the Sudanese government. She went into labor and endured 3 days of obstructed labor, during which the body of her baby cleared the birth canal, but the separated head was stuck in her womb before she could get to a hospital for medical assistance. She survived another operation, but as of December 2016, she still did not have access to good family planning assistance. There is no doubt that more people now know about contraception, and an increasing number of women in Africa are taking advantage of family planning services. While this could be considered success somewhat, the birth rates are still high, and Africa's population is still growing rapidly. According to a recent family planning report, the number has increased by 66% since 2012, from 40 million to more than 66 million women and girls. In Central and West Africa, the number of female users has doubled, while in Eastern and Southern Africa, it has increased by as much as 70%. Despite this improvement, more still needs to be done for both population control and women empowerment, especially through improved access to contraceptives. Now, some African countries have actually taken great steps towards this. In Rwanda, an innovative startup delivers condoms and contraceptives to villages by moped, which I believe is like a bike or a motorcycle. This makes for great and easy access to rural areas that may have bad access roads. And like in Kenya, the condoms can be ordered via text, and I read thousands of people use this service, which is great. In Ethiopia, the availability of contraception for young people has grown. The Ethiopian government has trained about 40,000 female health workers to work in clinics in rural areas, and family planning is not only aimed at married people, so even unmarried people can access these services too. In Niger, wrestlers use radio commercials to draw attention to the importance of contraception. In Burkina Faso, the government has increased spending by over 30% and has attracted more donations to reduce pregnancies. Young people are to be integrated into family planning counseling sessions early, and contraceptives are to be distributed freely. Now, the advantages of contraception are so many. When women can decide if, when, and with whom to have children, lives and health are both improved. Access to modern contraception is essential to women's rights, gender equality, and progress for individuals, families, and society. So it has a far-reaching impact. In fact, the health and reproductive rights of women in Africa are protected by the Protocol to the African Charter on Human and People's Rights on the Rights of Women in Africa, which is also known as the Maputo Protocol. And I discussed provisions of the Maputo Protocol in the last podcast episode, so you may want to listen to that later on to learn more about the protocol. So Article 14 of the protocol provides that state parties are to ensure that the right to health of women, including sexual and reproductive health, is respected and promoted, including the right to control their fertility, to decide whether to have children, the number of children, and the spacing of the children, the right to choose any method of contraception as well is included. State parties are also to take all appropriate measures to provide adequate, affordable, and accessible health services to women, especially those in rural areas. State parties are also to protect the reproductive rights of women by authorizing medical abortion in cases of sexual assault, rape, incest, and where the continued pregnancy endangers the mental and physical health of the mother, or the life of the mother or the fetus. Now, the protocol has gone a long way in advancing women's rights in Africa, and many African states have established special domestic machineries to promote and protect the social, health, fertility, and sexual rights of women. And I must say that cultural and religious attitudes also play a vital role in birth control prevalence. Even in some developed countries like the US, the free contraception won by women after decades of campaigning is coming under attack again, especially from religious activities. Abubakar Panti, a professor in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology in the Usman Danfodio University Teaching Hospital, Sokoto, Nigeria, gave some startling statistics about family planning in Nigeria. He said nearly 50% of unmarried women in Nigeria do not have access to modern contraceptives. He also added that the situation puts women in conditions of pregnancies not planned for, thereby increasing the country's population and their chances of dying from unsafe abortion. Again, this was discussed in the last podcast episode. And it's estimated that 1 in 3 deaths related to pregnancy and childbirth could have been avoided if women have freer access to contraceptive services. So it is crucial to change social, cultural, and religious beliefs to allow women to make decisions about their bodies, to control population growth, which would lead to increased resources, because it's clear that rapid population growth affects the quality of life. See, governments need to establish real projects that will promote access to contraceptive measures and not just white elephant projects that only exist on paper with nothing more. States also need to take measures like ratifying and domesticating the Maputo Protocol I mentioned earlier and ensuring its full implementation. Also ensuring the implementation of laws and policies to prohibit discrimination in the provision of reproductive health care services. Ensuring women and girls have access to the full range of maternal health services, including safe contraception methods like in France and other developed countries. Another thing states could do is to remove barriers to accessing contraception, like parental or spousal authorization requirements, and to also ensure that individuals harmed by human rights violations have access to appropriate and adequate remedies and take measures to prevent human rights violations from recurring and to hold those responsible for the violations. States also need to invest in public-private partnerships in which privately run facilities are supported by the government to provide high quality and comprehensive sexual and reproductive health care services, and pharmacies are supported to provide some modern contraceptive methods at a much more affordable rate. States also need to invest in the procurement of contraceptives, and dare I say, we need to adopt the one-child policy that was implemented in China to control its population growth, but that just is for another day. And just FYI, the cost of preventing an unintended pregnancy is much more lower than the cost of providing care for an unintended pregnancy, and we should really think about this, because like they say, prevention is better than cure. I'd really love to hear your thoughts on this. How do you think African governments can improve access to and the knowledge of contraceptive methods? Should we implement a policy like France has done to make contraception free for women 25 years old and below? Or should we go another route? Send me a DM at sheis_podcast on Instagram. I'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to like, share with your friends and subscribe so you get notified of fresh episodes every week. See you next time. Bye.